Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Tuesday, the 21st of February, 2023. It is spring primary election day here across the state of Wisconsin. Polls are open until 8 p.m. Get out and vote today for state Supreme Court as well as other local primaries across various municipalities across the state of Wisconsin. Joining us, as always, our producer engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommer. It's a busy day here on a Tuesday, the 21st.
Most definitely. I had to close my door because people are talking.
Were you the last few days? Aaron and I have kind of been here alone in the morning. Well, Terry's been back in the newsroom, but just the two of them. It's busy as beavers out here today.
Yeah, it was very weirdly quiet.
It was nice to have a little bit of hum back in the station here. Busy in terms of weather and news as well. Certainly, our forecast this morning. Much, if not all, of our listening area across the western and northern part of the state today under winter weather advisories or winter storm watches today. Advisories include WRCE's listening area in the southwest part of the state, the Richland Center area today, winter storm watch in effect until 6 p.m. On Thursday. So it's going to be lasting for a while. Today, just kind of a high clouds, high of 30 degrees, maybe some light snow later on tonight, but not a lot of accumulation. Then for later on tonight, a half inch overnight tonight of snow accumulation. Tomorrow, Wednesday, maybe 1 to 2 inches. And then Wednesday night, 1 to 3 inches possible. And then on Thursday, another inch. So maybe a total of 6 to 7 inches total by the time it's all said and done on Thursday in the Richland Center area. Further north, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, winter weather advisory in effect until 9 a.m. tomorrow. And then a winter storm watch, which well may turn into a warning, begins tomorrow through Thursday. Today, a 50% chance of snow in the afternoon. Not a whole lot of accumulation. Then, though, for tonight, maybe up to around 5 inches of accumulation. Tomorrow, Wednesday, another 2 inches. And Wednesday night, another half foot or 6 inches. So looking at maybe a foot, maybe a little bit more by the time all is said and done in Wausau on Thursday. And then the bullseye of this weather system moving in is going to be in the Amory area in northwest Wisconsin, where it's going to be cloudy today. Snow will be heavy at times later on tonight, a couple of inches, then rather this afternoon, and then another 3 to 5 inches for tonight. So 1 to 2 this afternoon, 3 to 5 inches of snow possible at Amory tonight. Then tomorrow kind of tapers off a little bit, only an inch or two, but then Wednesday night, another 6 to 10 inches, and then Thursday, another 4 to 8 inches. So you're looking at perhaps 15 to 24 inches plus of snow in Amory by the time all is said and done on Thursday. Kara from Weatherology will continue to update us, and we will pass that on to you. The main takeaway here is if you need to do things such as get a couple of groceries or a little bit of gas, do that today. Today, or certainly tonight, is much better. As we move into tomorrow and into Thursday, many areas of our state may become almost impassable, particularly in the Amory area, Wausau areas. Roads are going to get very dicey very quickly. If you're headed south, also be aware that here in Madison, we're expecting maybe 3 to 5 inches of snow tops. But then south of Madison, could be seeing some icing, some ice storm accumulations there. So if you're headed towards the Chicagoland area or point south on Wednesday, Thursday, be prepared for possibly some icy conditions there as well. Breaking news this morning, what you need to know on this 21st of February, primary election day, the Brooklyn Village, the village of Brooklyn here in Dane County has moved its polling place today due to what officials said was an ongoing public safety threat. Instead of going to a community building, voters will now go to the Village Public Works building. Dane County Clerk Scott McDonald said village officials will request a court order to extend voting hours for those who were denied access. The Village of Brooklyn is moving their polling place, as we said, and officials hope to have the new polling place set up by 9:30. But again, having to move an actual entire polling place in the Village of Brooklyn here in Dane County due to a public safety threat. Very unfortunate this morning. It is primary election day, though. Polls are open until 8 p.m. tonight. Make sure you take along an official ID, such as a valid Wisconsin driver's license, a valid U.S. passport, or a valid U.S. military ID. Also, you can register at the polls today. If you have not done so, take along one of those identifiers, as well as something like a utility bill, an electric bill, or a water bill that's at least a month or two old to prove that you've been at that address for more than 30 days. Very important as well. Main contest, of course, the U.S., the Wisconsin Supreme Court race today, featuring two conservatives, two progressives on the ticket. The conservatives, former Justice Dan Kelly and Judge Jennifer Darrow. For the progressives, it's Judge Everett Mitchell and Judge Janet Protasiewicz for the progressive ticket. So, again, get out regardless of who you are voting for today and make your voice heard in the primary election day. We'll have coverage for you around the state tonight at 6 p.m. It is a special extended edition of Devil's Advocates with Trudy and Dom from 6 until 7. And then at 7 o'clock, it's a special As Goes Wisconsin Prime Time. I love saying that, like Chris Berman on ESPN. Prime time. A little, wouldn't they be great? Wouldn't Kristen and Jane be great every once in a while to be in a primetime show? I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to be fantastic. 7 to 8, As Goes Wisconsin primetime. And then from 8 until who knows when, it will be News Director Terry Bell, along with myself here at the news anchor desk of Civic Media. We will bring you reports from across the state. Several other Civic News media personalities will be joining us with reports from around the state of Wisconsin on things such as the Madison Mayor's race, the Racine Mayor's race, Outagamie County Executive, and Green Bay Mayor's race as well. Back with more after this, just the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show it is 15 now past the hour of 9 o'clock on the Civic Media Radio Network. Primary spring election day. Get out and vote today. Polls are open until 8 p.m. A couple of headlines, and then we'll finish up on this story we kind of started talking about last hour, which was this situation in Texas. A representative there proposing a bill that would ban, essentially, voting on college campuses in the great state of Texas. Want to finish up on that. But first, a couple of headlines for you today on this Tuesday, the 21st of February, primary election day. President Joe Biden met with President Vladimir Zelensky yesterday, reiterating U.S. support for Ukraine and announcing new military assistance and sanctions against Russia. The highly secretive visit, which took place as air raid sirens could be heard ringing out around Kyiv, comes at a critical moment in the 12-month conflict, with Russia preparing for an expected spring offensive and Ukraine hoping to soon retake the territory. Very historic speech or a visit yesterday. No modern-day president has visited a war zone that was not controlled in some way, shape, or form by U.S. military. Of course, former presidents have visited Iraq and Afghanistan, but those were areas where the U.S. had an on-ground and in-air presence, able to protect the commander-in-chief. President Biden, remarkable story. Remarkable. Just chose a couple of reporters. We're told to watch your inbox for details on the golf tourney. That's what the code basically. They're going to a golf tournament. They snuck the president, the Secret Service did, out of the White House at around 3:30 in the morning. No big motorcade, no flashing lights. Just probably put them in a couple of the SUVs that are protecting the armored vehicles, the protected SUVs. Quietly slipped out of the White House in the dark of night. Did not take the big 747. Took a smaller plane. Of course, any plane that the president is on is called Air Force One. So it took a smaller version of Air Force One, and they called it a cargo mission. Didn't even use the call sign Air Force One. Flew into Poland, and from there they turned off the tracking taillight gear and snuck into, they landed in Germany and then turned off the tracking devices and then snuck into Poland. From there, President Biden got on a train, took a 10-hour train trip to get into Ukraine. And a couple more reporters were allowed to meet them there. fairly small entourage, probably less than a dozen Secret Service around him. Now, there may have been other CIA ops people on the train, you know, acting as the whatever purser engineer on the train, who knows. But as far as people that you saw, less than a dozen Secret Service around the president on the train, met with Zelensky, walked through, and apparently a Russian plane took off, and that's what prompted the sirens, even though Putin was given the heads up this was going to happen so he wouldn't make a mistake and launch an offensive that would put President Biden in danger. But still, just to toy with him, Putin sent up a plane that was headed towards Kyiv, which prompted the air sirens. Biden didn't flinch. Just kept walking with the aviator sunglasses right through the middle of town with Zelensky. Took a lot of onions, to be honest. Not many presidents would be willing to do that, put themselves out there like that. But Joe Biden did. And then got back on the train for the 10-hour trip back to Poland. A remarkable journey by President Biden. Winter storm set to impact millions across the U.S. this week, as we've been talking about here in Wisconsin. Heavy snow, dangerous winds, and possible blizzard conditions. For some, the coldest temperatures of the season. Right now, the storm in the Pacific Northwest. It will move into the Great Basin this afternoon, as we've been talking about. Move here into the Midwest over the next 24 to 40 hours. Perhaps up to 2 feet of snow for our friends in the Amory area. Turkey now, magnitude 6.3 aftershock struck southern Turkey yesterday, killing 3 people and injuring hundreds of others. 2 weeks after a massive quake killed more than 46,000 people. The aftershock caused more buildings to collapse, according to a volunteer rescue group, reigniting panic in the region. Searchers and rescue operations have resumed days after Turkey's disaster management authority said it had concluded most searches due to the unlikely chances for survival of people trapped in the rubble so long after the initial 7.8 magnitude disaster struck on February 6th. EPA Administrator Michael Regan, the nation's top environmental official, will visit East Palestine, Ohio today amid mounting reports of rashes, headaches, nausea, and other symptoms that residents fear could be related to the February 6th derailment of a train carrying toxic chemicals. The Supreme Court, U.S., is set to hear oral arguments this week in 2 cases that could have major impacts on the Internet's future. The outcomes of the arguments scheduled for today and tomorrow could determine whether tech platforms and social media companies can be sued for recommending content to their users or for supporting acts of international terrorism by hosting terrorist content. And the party's on in New Orleans. It's getting ready for the big famous Mardi Gras parade today and tonight. That means parades, beads, dancing, and yes, king cake. All for Mardi Gras. Mr. Zommer's already running through the halls, topless, looking for beads. Quite a spectacle. Quite a spectacle.
Oh, you know, I gotta get ready for these kind of things.
Indeed, a Wisconsinite in Mardi Gras. Pardon me. It is election day, primary spring election day, as we've been talking about. Polls are open until 8 p.m. tonight. Don't forget Civic Media's extended coverage of the election results, starting with an extended Devil's Advocates show from 6 until 7, Kruti and Dom. And then Kristen and Jane have a As Goes Wisconsin primetime from 7 until 8. Looking at what's happening across the state of Wisconsin, get us ready for the results, which will start at 8. Terry Bell, our news director, will join me here at the anchor desk, and we'll be with you until the results are known later on tonight. Not just the Supreme Court race on the ballot, depending upon you where you live, in Madison and Racine, mayoral primaries tonight. Also, Outagamie County executive race tonight, Green Bay Mayor's race, 8th State Senate seat race, lots of Milwaukee Common Council races, Boscobel, I believe, has a contest for school board, and also Grant County Judge. So all kinds of things happening across the state. Our coverage begins at 6. Polls are open tonight until 8. Get out and vote. Want to finish up a story we started last hour from Texas, according to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And again, my beef is not with the fine people of Texas. I just think as we look around the country, and we're going to go to Florida next year on another issue, lots of times we see things in the news, it's like, well, that doesn't affect me here in Wisconsin. But we're going to see here later on in the show how it does. How if we don't stop things, if we don't speak up when we see these things in other places, they could very likely visit us. So here you have, according to the story in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, a freshman Texas lawmaker proposing that college campuses could no longer be used as a voting place during elections. This Republican, Kerry Isaac from South of Austin, in Hayes County, wants to say that college campuses can no longer be used as a place to vote. In November's joint general and special elections, over 18,500 early vote ballots were cast at higher education places in Tarrant County. 18,500. There were 3,525 early vote ballots cast on the University of Texas at Arlington campus in the November election, according to Tarrant County records. A total of 14,990 early votes were cast across four Tarrant County college campuses in November. Now, this representative is part of what's known as the Texas Freedom Caucus, which includes, quote, increased election integrity as one of its priorities. It's always the way it starts. That they use these terms that you think, well, I'm for that, right? I said it earlier in the first hour, I want free and fair elections in Wisconsin. I want everybody to be able to vote. So when these groups say, oh, we want to have increased election integrity, sounds good on its face. This caucus in Texas, the Texas Freedom Caucus, lists the following goals to promote election integrity in the great state. Here they are. Number one, restore the felony penalty for voter fraud. In other words, if you commit voter fraud in Texas, they want that now to be a felony at the state level. Number two, establish alternative methods to prosecute voter fraud when progressive DAs refuse. So here again, this Freedom Caucus of Republicans in Texas say, we don't trust the district attorneys. District attorneys, by the way, I believe, and I can stand corrected, but I believe it's like Wisconsin and Texas, district attorneys are elected. So this Freedom Caucus is saying, we don't trust who the voters choose. We want to make sure that there are alternative methods to prosecute voter fraud, even if a district attorney says, no, there's not enough evidence, or no, that shouldn't happen. And finally, the Texas Freedom Caucus says they want to strengthen the enforcement of election laws. This is exactly what I've been talking about, you guys. These are intimidation techniques. Now, I've never participated or voted in an election in Texas, but my guess is that the fine and good people of Texas are doing as good a job at the voting booths running their elections as the fine people in Wisconsin. I bet you if you go into a Texas polling place, you're going to find a lot of the same people. Retired folks, teachers, senior citizens who are doing their civic duty, not getting paid a whole lot, to sit there and help run and conduct the elections in the great state of Texas. And how many times do we hear this, right? Well, young people don't get out and vote. You know, if they want their voices heard, they should get out and vote. Well, here you got thousands of young Texans on college campuses voting in the last election. But see, for the mega Republicans in Texas, that's a problem. That's a problem, you understand? Because many of those students on college campuses tend to vote for progressive candidates. And we've talked about this on this program before, you guys. There's a generational shift happening across this country. And it doesn't matter whether you like it or I like it or anybody else likes it or not. It's happening. It's just, it's, you know, to put it in Lion King terms, it's the circle of life. Young people are more and more every year. Guess what? Every year, this is going to shock a lot of people. Every year, a bunch more people turn 18 years old. Time marches on. We'll pick it up after this. Talk about participating in voting. You're on the Todd Allball Show. We'll take your calls on the Civic Media Network after this. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 9:33 on a Tuesday morning, the 21st of February, 2023. Primary, spring primary, election day. The polls are open until 8 p.m. Make sure you go out and do your civic duty today and vote for the U.S. Supreme Court. U.S., good Lord, Todd. The Wisconsin State Supreme Court race, that is on the ballot today. Wouldn't that be fantastic if we voted for it? Actually, no, it wouldn't. That's a whole other bottle of wine I'm not going to open this morning, but electing U.S. Supreme Court judges. But no, it is the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race this morning. Your choices are conservatives, former Justice Dan Kelly, Judge Jennifer Doro. I almost said Judy Dagendorf. You know who Judy Dagendorf is, Aaron?
No.
It's funny how things will pop into your mind 30 years later. Judy Dagendorf was a professor I had at UW-Platteville, and she was a guest. She was a guest on our show, and our old television program back in the day. And to show you how times have changed, and we were in our whatever early 20s. She was probably maybe 30 years old at the time, not a whole lot older than us. And she was like one of these really cool teachers, you know, and she always wore like a skirt or whatever. And so remember, this was 1993 or so. So back, you know, several years ago when times were different. And so she came on the show two or three times, and we would refer to her as super leggy. Leggy super teacher Judy Dagendorf. that's what. And she came on the show, and she was a great guest. We talk about, I think she was like an English professor, but she was also like involved in campus activities or whatever. And leggy super teacher Judy Dagendorf.
Did she enjoy her title?
Again, it was the early 90s, and she never said she didn't. I mean, she'd laugh about it and kind of, she always wore like a skirt when she came on the show. So I guess you couldn't do that today. And appropriately so. Again, we talk about people evolve. We all evolve. Society should evolve, right? So you wouldn't make that comment today. But back in 1993, that was a thing. So I don't know why that popped into my head. I guess I saw Judy. It was my writing. That's why my writing. I wrote Judge, and it looks like Judy at first. Who I wrote my. Anyway, it's Judge Jennifer Doro is the other candidate. So you got former Justice Dan Kelly. You got Judge Jennifer Doro on the conservative side. For the progressives, you've got Judge Everett Mitchell and Judge Janet Protasiewicz. You know what they call her down in Milwaukee? Judge Janet. That's what they call her down in Milwaukee, Judge Janet. That's the first person I heard say that was Matt Flynn last fall when I started listening to him. I'm like, what is he talking about? And now here I am. I'll be voting for Judge Janet today, Janet Protasiewicz, on the ballot, top two vote getters. Going on to the general election, don't forget, only vote for one of those four people. Don't vote for two or your ballot won't be worth anything. They'll throw it out. Yes, you're right. The top two people advance, but we only vote for one of those four when we go into the ballot booth today. Only vote for one of the Supreme Court justices. Then tune in tonight, later on this afternoon, actually, at 6 o'clock, from 6 until 7, a special extended Devil's Advocate right here on the Civic Media Radio Network with Crudy and Dom. And then at 7 o'clock, it's As Goes Wisconsin Primetime with Kristen and Jane. They will be in previewing a big pregame show for election night coverage from 7 until 8. And then at 8 o'clock will be news director from Civic Media, Terry Bell, and myself here at the anchor desk, along with a cast of thousands across the state. Well, at least a couple, three across the state of Wisconsin, bringing you all the great election coverage tonight. So be with us to that. Be with us for that here on Civic Media. Taking your phone calls this morning, if you want to call in and join us, area code 715-388. 7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. Give us a call. We're talking about this this bill in Texas of the Freedom Caucus, the Texas Freedom Caucus, and this freshman state representative in Texas proposing that they shouldn't have voting booths, ballot boxes, voting outlets on college campuses in Texas. Because they say that their goal is to restore the felony penalty for voter fraud, number one, establish alternative methods to prosecute voter fraud when progressive DAs refuse, and strengthen the enforcement of election laws. And how does this correlate? How does this relate to what's going on in Wisconsin? It's a trend, all right? This is the way these things start, is they start talking about election integrity. And they create a problem that, and Trey V. Olson, who actually will be here tomorrow, he's in town today, but he'll be here live tomorrow for his weekly stint with us. I'm looking forward to that. Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project here live in the studio tomorrow at the 8 o'clock hour. But Trigvi has talked about this, how Republicans are really great at creating a narrative. You know, Democrats are great at creating policy. Republicans are great at creating a narrative. So the narrative is, well, we need election integrity. And again, who would argue with that, right? You wouldn't argue with that on its face. We all want to have free and fair and safe elections. But the problem is that Republicans create a problem that doesn't exist. They want us to believe that elections are not working when in fact they are. We've said it 100 times. I'll say it again. The 2020 election was free and fair. Joe Biden won the election. Donald Trump lost the election. No debating that. No debating that on any factual grounds. There is no big election problem in Wisconsin. There's no big election integrity problem in Texas that I'm aware of. But the mega folks want us to believe there is, because they can't introduce these bills and get support for them if there's no problem. So they have to create a problem. So they spew forth these lies about what's happening with our elections so that they can introduce these bills under the name or auspices of election integrity. But what do they actually do? They hinder people from going to the polls. They intimidate people from going to the polls. And they stifle, to use an Archie Bunker word, they stifle or put down the vote predominantly for progressives and Democrats. And this is what's happening in Texas. I said before the break, you know, it's an inconvenient thing that time marches on for Republicans. It's inconvenient for Republicans that every year a new group of people turn 18 years old. Because 18 and 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds, they think differently than us, people in our 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s. And you know what? By and large, that's a good thing. Like I just said to Aaron, there are things that we said back in the 90s in college that you just don't say today. Particularly about women. There's a greater respect today. And that's a good thing. Our population in this country is becoming more diverse and less white. And that's a good thing. Because we learn from one another. If you go into a high school today or talk to a college freshman or sophomore, any college student for that matter today, there's a much greater tolerance. Tolerance is even a wrong word, because tolerance suggests that you disagree with someone, but yet you go along with it and are polite about it. That's kind of tolerance. I don't think I've told this story, but during the pandemic, the height of the pandemic, the first summer, 2020 of the pandemic, when UW-Madison was essentially closed down, and weren't able to be indoors, I went with a friend of mine. There's an observatory drive on campus. If you've never been to Madison, come to Madison and drive or walk observatory. Because there's actually an observatory up on top of the hill that overlooks Lake Mendota. It's a beautiful, beautiful sight. And there's a great big grassy lawn in front of the observatory. And students and community people will gather there to watch the sunset over Lake Mendota, have a little picnic, whatever. And so I went there with a friend of mine, and we just sat there and watched the sunset. But you know what I watched more than the sunset? Were the kids. Were the kids that were gathering. And it was remarkable to see the diversity of young people that gathered on blankets or just sat down on the grass and talked to one another. And there was no tolerance there. There was genuine friendship, genuine acceptance. Even more than acceptance, there was no line to blur. They were enjoying one another for who they were, whatever their ethnicity, whatever their orientation, whatever their skin color. They were enjoying each other as people. And that's one of the reasons I'm so hopeful for our country and our state, is that more young people of Gen Z become leaders in our community, the less we're going to have to worry about tolerance. Because it's not a matter of getting along with someone we don't understand or don't know. It's that they do understand one another, and they do know them, and they're genuine friends. It's one of the reasons I love living in Madison in a college town, is you're reminded through young people what our country's future holds. And yes, like every generation, they have problems too. Who doesn't? But it's inspiring. I think that if you talk to an educator, it's one of the things that keeps... I come from a family of educators. Why do they stay in it? With all the parents and all the rigmarole and all the everything else that an educator has to face, why stay in it? By and large, I'll say the kids. Because you walk into that classroom every day, and yes, they might kind of drive you nuts sometimes, but also, by and large, they inspire you. Because they're cool. Because they're more forward-thinking. And that's what... It frustrates me about the current mega Republican Party, whether it's in Texas or Wisconsin or any place else. But it's just also sad and pathetic, right? That this state representative in the Texas Freedom Caucus, what's her name here? Carrie Isaac. She must be a very sad, lonely person. You think about Republicans in Wisconsin. Honestly, a lot of them are sad, lonely people. I've been around them. They don't really have a lot of friends. They don't go a lot of places. They're just, it's exactly now the opposite of when Tommy Thompson was governor. I can't tell you how many times I went and saw Tommy Thompson give speeches in the state as Republican governor of Wisconsin. And he'd start out every one of his speeches the same way. He'd look across the audience and he'd say, "Isn't it great to be a Republican?" And people would clap, hoot, holler. They'd say, "Oh, geez, you know, can you imagine being a Democrat? I mean, you wake up every day and you suck lemons and drink grapefruit juice for breakfast and just sour and just go around the look of the face all day." It was hilarious theater. But the point was back then that as Republicans as Tommy Thompson, you were happy. You were glad to see your neighbor succeed. You were glad to see the University of Wisconsin succeed. You were glad to see local schools succeed. And one of Tommy Thompson's, one of his masterful theatrics was he painted this narrative as Democrats is always sour and mad and upset and angry people. Which, of course, wasn't always true, but it was great theatrics, you understand. But Tommy Thompson lived the part of being positive, of being happy, of being reaching out to people. And now it's almost completely flipped. The Republicans are the ones that go around with sour faces on the... I mean, I, honest to goodness, I think that Robin Voss probably does suck lemons in the morning for breakfast and drink grapefruit juice. I mean, Robin Voss never has a smile on his face. Glenn Grossman, U.S. Congressman, the guy doesn't have a smile on his face.
I mean, I feel like at that point, if you're advocating for the things they're advocating for, you have to drink grapefruit juice and suck lemons in the morning because it's more pleasant than thinking about right. What you have to do today.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is why they're putting these voting things out there, because they don't have real ideas. So don't let them take your right to vote away. Don't let them take your voice. Get out and vote. It's primary election day in Wisconsin. Vote. Polls are open till 11. Back after this. This is the Town Hall Ball Show.
Texas smile on your face. I said, girls, I ain't as good as I once was. I got a few years on me now, but there was a time back in my prime when I could really lay it down. And if you need some love,
welcome
tonight,
back to Town Hall Ball Show. Is that Toby Keith? Who is that?
Yep, Toby Keith.
Well, Toby Keith, there you go. Very good on a Tuesday morning primary election day. I got to get myself down to Texas. You ever been to Texas, Aaron?
Nope, I have not.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You got it. I told this story, but I won't tell it in its entirety. But one of the greatest trips of my life was with my friend Brooke Dobbs when he was driving long-haul trucking and took me on a trip, went down through Texas. And my goodness gracious, the hill country in Texas, beautiful. Well, it reminds me of some of Southwest Wisconsin, not quite as high, but a little bit more rolling, but beautiful, absolutely beautiful. San Antonio, didn't spend much time there, drove through it, absolutely beautiful as well. Dallas-Fort Worth, really cool area. My friends Alex and Kristen got married there. I was in their wedding here a couple of years. I went to the wedding a couple of years ago. Beautiful, beautiful outdoor wedding in Texas. But let me just tell you, if you're going to Texas and you're going to drive the interstate there, holy criminy sakes alive, be prepared. Because, I mean, it is like the Indy 500 around there on the Dallas freeways.
One of my friends, my previous roommates, my exes who live in Texas, they live in Austin, and one of them teaches at a high school, and he has to drive on what is regarded as one of the worst highways to drive on in the state. I don't remember which one. But his commute, depending on the time of day and how many accidents, not if there are accidents, how many, it's anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours.
Wow. It's a long commute.
The way there is usually 30, 45.
I can't remember how many around. I was going around Dallas on one of the interstates there. I can't remember whether it was 6 or 8 or 10 lanes. I don't know. It was a huge wide lane. And they're all, here's a little piece of advice. If you ever rent a car, I got like a really cheap, honest to goodness, it was like $9 for the day or a car rental on this trip. And remember, this is like, it was prior to the pandemic. So car rentals are much cheaper then. But I think the one I got, it was like on Priceline.com. It was a Mitsubishi, like small Mitsubishi SUV. Never buy one because I think I was doing like 65, 70 on the interstate there in this little Mitsubishi, and I thought the thing was going to fall apart. And I had guys passing me in Dodge Rams and big SUVs going, they had to be going 90 miles an hour. And I'm like, you know, I got to up my game if I'm going to be driving down here. But it was fantastic. So Texas Hill Country is fantastic. The actual city of Dallas, really, really cool area there. So yeah, if you ever get a chance, visit Texas. Some really beautiful, it's a huge state, of course, and I haven't even begun to explore all of it. I like to go to El Paso sometime. Never been to El Paso.
I know at some point I'm going to go visit my friends there.
Yeah. What part of Texas are they in?
Well, they're in Austin.
Oh, that's where I've only driven through the outskirts of Austin. I want to spend time like on the University of Texas and Music Row, I believe they call it in Austin. Really, really.
They're just out of college. All right. That'd be a little expensive, but still.
But it's a great place. So yes, we'll have to take the show down to Texas sometime. Do a little show out of live and on location in the great state of Texas. Coming to a show program time near you. Want to bring you an update on something we talked about on the show here last week or so. on President Biden cracking down on fees, right? Remember, we talked about fees, things like airlines charging people extra to sit next to their kid. Well, here we have an update this morning, courtesy of Axis.com. United Airlines plans new family seating policy. Look at that. We talk about it. They must have been listening, right? No, probably not. But anyway, we'll take credit where we can. It says United Airlines announced a new family seating policy on Monday that makes it easier for children under 12 to sit next to an adult in their party for free. It includes customers who buy the cheaper basic economy tickets. Having to pay extra to sit together is a rising frustration on travelers and a budget. So here's how it works. A new seat map feature dynamically finds available adjacent seats at the time of booking.
So you mean something that we've had for ages and they just decided to take away?
Yes.
How generous.
That's exactly right. It says the online seat engine first reviews all available free economy seats and then opens complimentary upgrades to available preferred seats. In other words, yes, you can sit next to your child now and not have to pay an extra fee if you fly United. The policy will let travelers switch to another flight to the same destination without paying a different fare if adjacent seats are not available. The change, which is being phased in now, will be complete by early March. It says that the CEO says, first of all, we think we need to be flexible, make sure we need to understand that every job is different and it is impossible to find a common recipe for every job in the company because that will never work. So they're trying to find a better way to do things there down in United Airlines. So that's what they're doing.
This sounds like a move to try and make it seem like, see, we don't have junk fees so that right. The proposition doesn't go through.
Didn't say anything about baggage. You know, the extra fees to have a bag. You know, the old joke is on Spirit Airlines, they're probably going to put in pay toilets pretty soon. Not really.
Careful.
You're going to have a debit card in order to go to the toilet pretty soon in Spirit.
That wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. I mean, have you ever been to Europe?
I have not.
Well, you got to pay for toilets most places there.
Well, see, you're too young. I can remember when, in Westtown Mall, there used to be paid toilets at Rennebaum's drugstore. You have to pay a quarter. To get into, and there's an old, my mother dying, right? She'd say, don't say it. My grandfather used to have an old saying. He said, here I sit, brokenhearted, had to something, but only something. Later on, I took a chance, let up blank, and blanked my pants.
Oh my gosh.
But that's the point. You had to pay, you didn't want to go in and not have to use it because you had to pay. It was a quarter to use a toilet. I remember the days. We don't want that, right?
Definitely not.
No, we do not. So at least United Airlines doing the right thing and making it free for kids to be able to sit with their parents. So we're happy for that. Coming up next hour, we're going to be looking at books, banning books. First, it happened in Florida. Ron DeSantis area. Going to have a report there from CBS News. And you think, well, again, that's in Florida. Well, guess what? It's a chance to happen right here in Southwest Wisconsin. There is a candidate for school board up on the ballot tonight who also wants to ban books in public libraries in Boscobel, Wisconsin. We're going to bring you that story courtesy of Channel 3000. All that and more and your phone calls coming up in hour number three. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. As I ever was.